How good are you at conversation? It's such an ordinary part of life, you may not have given much thought as to whether you're doing it well or not. But maybe you should. In the book, The Art of Conscious Conversations, Transforming How We Talk, Listen, and Interact, author Chuck Wisner argues that by paying more attention to how we converse, we can transform our relationships and careers. Chuck is a mediator and a consultant who's worked with Fortune 100 companies and has been affiliated with the Harvard Mediation Program and MIT's Center for Organizational Learning. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
Hi, I'm Chuck Wisner, a leadership advisor, team consultant, and personal coach. Years ago, I studied the ontology of language, studies that transformed my thinking and changed my life. Over the years, when I introduced clients to those lessons, they would say, where can I read more about this? Or why wasn't I taught this in school? Most of what's been written about the power of language is often esoteric, piecemeal, and hard to find. I wrote this book to lay out the fundamentals of language and the DNA of conversations. In the book, I share concepts and tools about how and why conversations work and why they often don't. The book is organized around four types of conversations: storytelling, collaboration, creativity, and commitment. Here are five insights from the book, four of which briefly introduce each conversation. Insight number one. In conversation, you are the common denominator. We're the common denominator not in an arrogant or egocentric way, but as a central player, for only we can take an honest look at our emotions, reactions, and inner thoughts. When I'm stressed about a conversation with a sibling or impatient with a seemingly incompetent service rep or frustrated with a colleague, I'm at the center of each, and I best look inside first before I point fingers at others. The irony is that no matter the circumstances on the outside, we can only change our reactions by looking inside. Our emotions are reflections of our inner beliefs and inner thinking. When we pay attention to our conversational patterns, rather than judge them, we can note them, name them, and befriend them. And with that, we have control over them instead of them having control over us, which then guides us to rethink, reframe, and refresh our next conversation on the outside. Insight number two, your stories aren't the truth. The storytelling conversation is primary because individuals, cultures, and societies thrive on them. They are beautiful, entertaining, informative, and transformational. A success story is encouraging, a funny story makes us laugh, and an inspirational story can change our lives. They serve us well, until they don't. They don't because they can be limiting, judgmental, nasty, untrue, and addictive. I grew up with a grandpa telling me, "Stop crying, be a bigger man." And as a young boy, his words had power, and they entered my consciousness and got stuck. That story lived inside me emotionally for years until I could bust it by realizing it wasn't true and freeing myself of its limitations. Our super-fast brain takes billions of bits of information and filters and synthesizes our experiences and beliefs. In a millisecond, beyond our conscious awareness, our big brain makes sense of it all, and voila, we have a story and autopilot reactions. This sense-making process is very useful as it helps us navigate life and takes little energy, but it also narrows our lives. A counter to this autopilot pattern is to be curious about our stories, to better understand and investigate them, which ones serve us, which ones harm us. In the book, we deconstruct our stories. They consist of two things, facts and opinions. Facts are indisputable. Sounds easy, but consider the political mess we've experienced with them in the last 4 years. They're crucially important because they provide a solid foundation for society. And in any difficult conversation, finding mutually agreeable facts builds bridges. Opinions are much messier. We can't live without them. But unlike facts, they are not grounded in truth. They reflect the beliefs we adopt from our families and our cultures. We know them well, and they're very satisfying. They're like comfort food. And because of that, we get hooked on them. We identify with them. throw them about indiscriminately, and blindly defend them. But it is easy to speak and hold them as the truth. Four crucial questions can help guide us to accept and learn from the thinking behind our opinions so we don't hold them as the truth. What are my desires? What concerns do I have? Are there issues of authority? What standards are driving my opinions? Asking these questions takes courage, but they are a formula for understanding and reframing negative thinking behind our stories that often gets us in trouble. Insight number three, hold your opinions with an open hand. The second conversation in the book is the collaborative conversation, where multiple stories intersect. We all enter conversations in business or with family or friends with our stories in hand. Without heeding the lessons of the storytelling conversation, we forcefully advocate for our opinions as the right or the only perspective. We are trained to be knowers, to have the answer, and we are rewarded for it. Being the knower is a dangerous leadership trap. It is like showing up with our opinions closed-fisted and ready to defend them no matter the consequences. Not surprisingly, two closed fists create battle, and collaboration, questions, and listening are impossible. So rather than being in conversation with a closed fist, we can practice holding our positions lightly with an open hand. With an open hand, we reveal the thinking behind our opinion. We can reveal the four questions and demonstrate a willingness to consider opposing ideas. It takes one person to advocate openly and shift a stressful conversation into a collaborative one. The four questions are also a guide for asking good questions to better understand others. Shifting from advocacy to inquiry, we can ask sincere questions. What concerns do you have about the direction of the project? Or in the end, what do you hope to accomplish? Or what are your standards of success? This humble sharing of our thinking is an invitation for others to do the same, and open hearts and open minds increase our listening tenfold. Insight number four, creative insights emerge from an open mind. The third conversation in the book is the creative conversation. An open-minded, creative conversation naturally flows out of productive collaborations. In this conversation, we reacquaint ourselves with our oft-forgotten right brain. The left brain, the center of logic, planning, and science, and objective truths, has been dominant in most Western cultures for a long time. As Einstein said, "I have always lived life by thriving on opportunities and adventure. Some of the best ideas come out of the blue, and you have to keep an open mind to see their virtue." Reacquainting ourselves with our creative and imaginative right brain integrates with our logical brain and encourages us to wonder, what else might be possible? One of my first professors in architecture school taught me this lesson 30 years ago. In a design class, our assignment was to present ideas about a new toy. I spent the next few days struggling to develop my brilliant idea. Finally, it struck me, a moldable, light, beautiful cloud for every kid. I spent a few hours drawing and convinced myself my toy would change the world. I proudly presented my idea to the professor in class. He said, "What was the assignment?" I said, "To create a new toy." He said, No. Your job was to come up with many ideas for a new toy. You got hooked on your first idea. Go back to your drawing board and give me 10 more ideas tomorrow." I will never forget that lesson. In conversations, we make the same mistake. We tell our stories, hook on an idea, and put it into action. This conversation asks us to set aside our judgments, slow down, and let ideas flow. Be in flow. Unforeseen and unexpected ideas bubble up through open minds and more conscious conversations. Insight number five, make commitments you can keep. Don't rush to yes. The fourth conversation, commitment conversations, thrives on the promises we make. Marriage, parenting, leading, selling, buying, partnering. They all rely on our agreements and our commitments. They keep things rolling as they are how we coordinate action with others. If Anna hires Jose to make a bookcase for $1,000, then with that money, Jose gets to pay his rent and the landlord gets to on and on and on. The world turns on promises made. We use commitments to satisfy our desires and concerns for the future, and we use them to solve problems and coordinate action with others. But we are steeped in this conversation daily. We do it on autopilot. That's okay until things go awry. On autopilot, we default to yes, and we miss asking essential questions about design, timing, details, what good looks like. An easy yes allows lots of room for misunderstandings and miscommunication. We make sloppy promises by being polite, making assumptions, defaulting to yes, and avoiding no. But a request without a possible no is not a request, it's a demand. The best move is to begin to pay attention to your commitment conversation patterns. How do you respond when a request comes your way? How do you make requests of others? And when you have a broken promise, go back and be curious about how did this go wrong? This conversation is central to our success and happiness at home. Slow down and make more thoughtful commitments. Trust with others will follow. Our conversations are complex, and yet they are the one standard tool that we all share to guide us to live better lives. The tools and practices of each conversation helps us appreciate their intricacies and pitfalls. They have a lot to teach us. Thanks for listening to the insights about my book. I hope they serve you well.
Thank you, Chuck. That was Chuck Wisner with 5 Big Ideas from The Art of Conscious Conversations, Transforming How We Talk, Listen, and Interact. You might also enjoy our book bite for Listen Like You Mean It, Reclaiming the Lost Art of True Connection by Ximena Vengoechea. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.